You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Andy Nicomo. First of all, are you proud of me for resisting a New York Mets joke that 1,000 people have already made?
Or Steven Bats, or Meet the Mets. Or there's a lot of ways you can go with that. Yes, I am proud of you.
So, I was looking, and the Mets in 2013, 2014, 2015 are not the first team, or anywhere close to it, to have a slew of really exciting pitching prospects in the high minors and knocking on the door and even get to the majors. In fact, it's not the first Mets team to do that. And yet, it's so far it's working. These guys are not only getting through, they're getting there, and they've got some ability. They got major league ability. There's a string of guys who can get big league hitters out. And so it got me to wondering, just kind of broadly, what are the Mets doing right to turn pitching prospects into major league pitchers at what right now is a much better than average rate?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly point to the development in the minors. I mean, we've spent plenty of time knocking the Mets for their inability to develop a position player. I mean, really, they haven't developed a really, really good one since David Wright, and that was well over a decade ago. But they have had lots of success developing pitchers. You know, Steven Matz was a project from the start. He was a second-round draft pick out of high school. He threw hard, didn't really have a lot else to offer in terms of major league-ready skills at the time, and he's come along. I mean, you know about the arm injuries. He had a Tommy John surgery. He had some other things going on that he didn't throw a professional pitch until a couple of years after the Mets drafted him, but they stuck with him, and it worked. You know, you see Matt Harvey is another great success story, obviously. A guy who most scouts thought had the ceiling of a number two coming up, and as soon as he hit the majors, he was anything but. So, well, you know, we have knocked Sandy Alderson's regime for not drafting, you know, a ton of guys who have helped out so far. We've knocked them, you know, there's been a lot of jokes thrown around. Well, you know, they can thank Omar Minaya for drafting Matt Harvey and for drafting Steven Matz. But the truth is this regime has developed those guys, and there is something to that. How much, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's on those guys, the Matt Harveys and the Jacob DeGroms and the Steven Matzes and everyone else, to actually make the legitimate step forward. But this team, for whatever reason, has had much more success developing pitchers from the farm system than hitters, and Steven Matz is just the latest example.
This is admittedly nothing more than spitballing, but I wonder, when there's some frustration developing hitters and such success developing pitchers, is there any thought that maybe that much derided AAA environment ultimately helps the pitchers, that guys who can survive there and endure Las Vegas and the PCL in general, maybe that's part of why they're successfully developing pitchers?
I mean, there's definitely a little something to the fact that if a guy can have success in the PCL, especially at Las Vegas, at that ballpark, you know, chances are he's going to be able to have success in the majors. You take anything on both sides of the ball, you take with a grain of salt there. I'm not sure how much it plays into this whole thing, because most of the guys, probably with the exception of Jacob DeGrom, who have come up, spent very little time at Las Vegas. You know, Matt Harvey spent time at Buffalo even before the Mets were affiliated with Vegas. And then, you know, Mets has essentially had half a year at Vegas. Noah Syndergaard didn't have all that much time in Vegas before he spent up. Really, the development, what's making these guys from projects, from draft picks, from talents to major league pitchers and guys who could potentially be major league stars, is what's going on at the lower levels of the minors soon after these guys are drafted, where they're really learning those extra pitches, where they're learning how to pitch, and so on and so forth. By the time these guys get to AAA, get to Las Vegas, and get to that environment, you know, that learning curve, they're almost at the end of it. So I'm not sure how much stock that places in. But certainly, if you can go out and have success there, it's a pretty good harbinger for things to come.
Are they doing anything different, innovative, out-of-the-box, instruction-wise, in the lower minors?
Not really. You know, what they're doing is they've drafted a lot of pitchers recently. And, you know, that even goes back into Gilmore and I are. And, you know, it's a numbers game. Sandy Alderson has been very, very adamant that he's not trading any of these top flight pitchers, and he has been for some time. So they've basically hung on to all their highest level arms. And you know, for the guys who have panned out, there's been plenty who haven't. You know, they've had plenty of guys over the years who, in the lower levels, had just as good of track records or just as much potential as the guys who have made it. You know, the difference being these guys did make it, and by the time they got to AA, AAA, they were considered some of the 10, 20, 30, 50, whatever best prospects in the league. There's nothing necessarily innovative the Mets are doing at the lower levels. They're just, you know, they're hanging on to all these guys, and the numbers game seems to be working out for them. And, yeah, that development staff is doing a good job with them. There's no question about it.
And, you know, that's kind of the other interesting thing to me about this is that, you know, Harvey was for 1 year a top 10 prospect, but by and large, and was a top 10 draft pick, I should say, and was 1 year a very highly regarded prospect. But by and large, these are not, to use an unfortunate example right now, Dylan Bundy types. These are not the guys who are top 20 the day they're drafted, top 20 prospects the day they're drafted, top 20 all the way through. And Mats in particular put up some really nice numbers coming up, and it wasn't even rated a top 100 prospect until this year. What was it that started clicking for him to go from a guy who was dominating really low minors hitters to being a guy that people said, oh, wait, this guy is going to be a really special big league pitcher?
Really, it's the cop-out answer, but for Steven Matz, the huge, biggest thing was just being healthy. He had huge health issues early in his professional career, and he came back in 2013, really, and put up some really nice numbers in the low minors, but you think to yourself, okay, when is he going to get hurt again, and let's see it at the upper minors. And then, you know, you look up at the end of last year, and he had done it at the upper minors, and he was healthy for the entire season, and now you're coming into this year, and you see a guy who has just as good of stuff as some of those other, you know, big-time prospects the Mets have called up. He's doing it from the left side. And now all of a sudden he's able to handle a major league workload in terms of number of innings per year and, you know, with that stuff. So more than anything, it's health for him. Obviously, developing the secondary pitches was key for him, as is key for anyone. You know, you really like that high 70s sharp curveball that he throws and all that. But, you know, the skill set was there for him. He was a project in terms of command. He's gotten that down, and really he has at least, you know, average big league command right now. But those are all things that are part of the development process. Some guys get it, some guys don't. The fact that Steven Matz has been able to do it and come this quickly is really just a product of his health.
To switch to some more experienced Mets pitching, rumors are now swirling around John Neese. He seems like maybe the natural guy to move because he's got some value and they now have another lefty in the rotation. Might be hard to move Bartolo Colon. Is there anything to this? Is Neese a guy who could move before the deadline?
They could move, and I'm sure they'll certainly look into moving. The problem with, I'm just not sure how much value there is that you're going to get for him at this point. And it's the same thing, you know, we've talked about so many of these guys. We've talked about Dylan G. We've talked about Bartolo Colon back in the offseason. These guys who, you know, have pretty decent to even good at times track records in the big leagues, but they don't have a lot of external value. If I'm a scout for another team and I'm looking at John Neese and I'm looking at that fastball that's sometimes in the mid-80s and I'm looking at his track record and, you know, he had a really bad month of May before turning around in June, and even now in June it's not anything electric. I'm not sure there's a lot of teams out there that are going to be willing to give up a huge piece for him or even a big piece for John Neese. So with all that being said, I think the Mets are going to look down and see, well, we're not getting offered that much. And having John Neese around as a guy who you can pencil in or even write in ink for 190 innings or so, that's pretty big when we're looking at this six-man rotation, looking at trying to limit the innings of Mats and Syndergaard and Harvey and DeGrom and so on and so forth. So while the Mets, you know, have these big four young pitchers, they still have Bartolo Colon. They still have even Dylan G down in the minors if they need something in a pinch. And Johnny is definitely expendable in that sense. I just don't think they're going to get the value they need to pull the trigger on a deal like that.
One last thing, because you did just mention the six-man rotation. That is back on again. What reason is there to think, or is there reason to think, that it's going to be better received within the clubhouse this time around?
Well, it sounds like this time around, as opposed to last time, it wasn't a, here, come into my office, let's discuss this, and let's talk about your concerns. It was a, here, come into my office, this is what we're doing, which is really what it probably should have been the first time. It should have been more a, this is our plan. I don't care if you're on board, because you're on this team, so you have to be on board. Now, it can still change. This is the Mets, of course, and I wouldn't be surprised if it does change at some point. A trade, an injury, anything like that could alter this plan. But I just think the Mets are being a lot more firm with it this time. They're not playing around. They've drawn out the pitching rotation essentially for the rest of the year. And if they hadn't turned to it right now, guys like Noah Syndergaard in particular, Jacob DeGrom, would be in trouble with their innings. And the Mets just are not willing to do that at this point. So it's just a matter of doing what they say more than ever right now.
All right. Well, Anthony DiComo, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.